somewhere outside the rainbow. NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory orbits high above the Earth, beaming back images of the high-energy universe impossible to obtain from the ground. Bringing the starter to the world is Kimberly Arcand, visualization lead for the project. Here we go into detail on some of the many and varied programs she's involved with. Outer space. It encompasses distances we can barely fathom, temperature ranges we can hardly comprehend, and shines in wavelengths which we can never see. Take our Sun, for example, a fairly small star at a mere 1,392,000 kilometres in diameter. Most of us can't hold that number in our heads. It's too far outside anything we've experienced. We can try to visualize it by comparison to distances that we know, say the distance between New York and London. That's 5,500 kilometres, which means it would be around 252 transatlantic flights. Assuming each flight is 7.5 hours, then you'll be spending 78 days in an aeroplane, 78 days worth of aeroplane food. Now that is a number we can get our heads around. But it gets even more difficult when we start looking at larger objects. Alpha Centauri, our nearest neighbouring star, is 4.3 light years away. Converted to kilometres, we get 41 followed by 12 zeros. 12! You and your aeroplane food would be dust long before you even came close to your goal. And this is before we start trying to wrap our heads around deeper space objects, like supernova remnant Cassiopeia A, a mere 10,000 light years away. So how do we bring these distances and these objects down to our mortal world of commuter jets and slow-moving traffic? This is where the work of scientific communicators and researchers such as Kimberly Arcand of NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory comes in. Her job involves taking arcane data and scientific information and finding the best way to make them understandable for all walks of life. 254 shades of grey. When we look at our windows at the world passing by, we see reds, blues, greens, all the colours of the rainbow. But the rainbow we see is a tiny, tiny part of the rainbow we could be seeing if only we had the ability. Infrared cameras, radar, X-ray telescopes, all of these rely on being able to see wavelengths which are invisible to our naked eyes. But once detected, how do we visualise this information? What colour is that radar image or ultraviolet source? One traditional approach being used by scientists has been to ignore the problem entirely, plotting all information on a scale from black, no signal, to white, 100% signal, and then dividing everything else into various shades of grey. This is unambiguous. You can easily see how different parts of the image relate to others by examining how bright they are. But it becomes difficult when different images are merged. Is this bit of grey part of the first image or the second? It also misses the chance to include important information. We see in colour and are thus skilled at interpreting and understanding multicoloured images, unless levels of colourblindness come into play. But translating the invisible world into glorious colour brings its own challenges, as Kim comments. There are human biases that are introduced in that translation process. There are many choices that must be made along the pipeline, from cleaning the data and removing artifacts to more aesthetic issues such as mapping colour. The way we respond to colour affects our interpretation of the imagery. Take recent work by her group, in which they surveyed a number of people regarding their perceptions of various astronomical images. The information was drawn from data outside the visible spectrum, and thus was represented using false colour imagery, in which the colour in the pictures isn't the same as we would see looking through a pair of binoculars, because, of course, we couldn't see it at all. High-energy regions were marked in blue, low-energy in red. This makes perfect sense to an astronomer, because high-energy objects are hotter, and hotter objects are blue. However, most of us think of red as being the colour of heat, despite this not being the case. Want to check this? If you were to stick your hand in a candle flame, the blue part of the flame is far hotter than the red. But kids, don't try this at home. This mismatch in beliefs means that effectively showing scientific data to non-expert audiences requires scientists to reflect on some of their standard approaches. What is important is in getting the information across to the audience, not slavishly holding to a single manner of representing it. But most importantly, we also need to explain why these colours were chosen and what they represent. The vast majority of questions which came up during the survey asked about the colours of the astronomical objects. Do they really look like that? Are those colours real? In a world of easy photoshopping and Instagram filters, we tend to distrust the images we see, and thus scientists need to be transparent about what they are actually presenting to the world. Science for everyone. Why is this important? Does it really matter that science looks pretty? Should it be optimised for just the people who research the data? Definitely not. Science and scientific discoveries affect all of us. They underlie the modern world in which we live. Unfortunately, however, science is often portrayed and perceived as being just one of those things that nerds do. That perspective, however, can actually limit the people who are interested in the field and so become self-selective. The more your five-year-old thinks that science is for nerds, the less likely they are to be interested in learning it themselves. This is particularly a problem for girls, who are consistently underrepresented in a number of the STEM fields: science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. The typical example here is computer science, for which only 10 to 20% of computer science degrees are awarded to women. However, it is also very noticeable in fields such as astronomy, where female participation rates range from 15 to 35%. This applies to those amongst the stars as well. Only 75 of the 560 astronauts trained so far have been women. A number of new community-based programs exist to encourage young girls to develop an interest in computer science, but few equivalents exist for the field of astronomy. To attempt to fill this gap, Kim Arcand has been involved in developing public engagement programs from her position at the Chandra Observatory. Her and her colleagues' most recent work has combined computer science and science imaging, teaching students how to take astronomical data and then use them to create their own imagery. Built on a simplified coding language known as Pencil Code, the program takes young students through some standard stages of recoloring and merging images derived from orbiting telescopes, using real NASA data just as an astronomer would. This type of hands-on program that provides authentic scientific learning experiences is a vital part of encouraging young minds to see science as a thing of possibility and interest. Although those who take part may be many years away from beginning their careers, they can see that science and associated fields are more than just hideaways for geeky guys with perhaps underdeveloped social skills. Science is fascinating and should be accessible to everyone, boys and girls, burnt hands and all. Touching the stars. One of Kim's latest attempts to making science more accessible to broader audiences involves improving the visualization of astronomical objects. How? By shrinking them down to scales which we can hold in our hands. To achieve this mammoth act of scaling, they started with one of the most striking radio sources in the sky, Cassiopeia A. Cassiopeia A, Cass A for short, is what is known as a supernova remnant, the last remainder of a star's final dramatic moments. Supernovae occur when some large stars, much bigger than our Sun, run out of fuel for their inner fusion reactions, collapse under their own weight, and then rebound with enough energy to blow themselves apart. This turns the now X star into a rapidly expanding cloud of incredibly hot gas and plasma, shining brightly in almost every part of the electromagnetic spectrum we care to examine. Cass A is well loved by astronomers because the supernova was both relatively close, a mere 11,000 light years, and relatively recent. This means that it is perfect for in-depth studies at a multitude of wavelengths. Imaging from the different orbiting observatories allows us to see the remnant in visible infrared and X-ray spectra. Faint filaments in the visible spectrum become blinding clouds in the X-ray images. Even better, the combination of these spectra provides information on how the gaseous shockwave is moving. As parts of the cloud move towards or away from us, the wavelength of the radiation they emit will seem to be a little higher or a little lower than it should, a process known as Doppler shifting. Just as you can tell whether the police are coming towards you or driving away by the shifted tone of their siren, so can astronomers decide if part of the supernova remnant is moving towards or away from us. By combining this information together, then modifying a piece of software which was originally designed for medical scans of human brains, researchers have managed to create a three-dimensional model of CAS-A. It's great news for those who work on computer models of supernovae for a living, but even better for the rest of us because the model can be fed directly into a 3D printer. Have you ever wanted to hold a supernova in your hands? Poke at a very, very much smaller representation of its hypersonic shockwave? Enjoy the irony of trying not to break the surprisingly fragile representation of two jets of supernova material, each of which are in actuality moving at about 14,000 kilometers every second. By being able to do this, to ask these kinds of questions, researchers such as Kim Arcand helped to bring the idea of astronomy to a much wider audience than would otherwise be possible, from young learners to the visually impaired. You may or may not be a regular reader of astronomical papers on ArcSiv, but the little model of a dead star sitting on your desk helps to keep the idea of the wider, ridiculously larger universe in your thoughts. As she comments, the visual is also only one side of the equation. Coloured galaxies, printed supernovae, public engagement programs for underrepresented groups, incidentally working at NASA, one of the most beloved government agencies in the US. How does Kim Arcand actually find the time to do all of this? She enjoys the challenge, laughingly commenting, "I have the opportunity to learn something new every day, and I take full advantage of it. That's incredibly important to me. Every day brings something new, every day another challenge and another possible success. I, for one, am curious to see what tomorrow brings." The researcher of this article is Kimberly Cowell Arcand. She is the visualization lead for NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory at the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in the United States. Her email address is kcowell@cfa.harvard.edu. Her Twitter account is @KimberlyCowell. This audio was taken from the Scientia series brought to you by Science Diffusion. To find out more, please visit www.scientia.global.